O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths will declare your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The scripture for today is Mark 1, verses 7 through 11. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word as we listen to Who is This Jesus? By Caroline Cobb. Relaxed folk instruments provide a soft background for the intimate vocals. The text details various miracles and moments from Jesus' life. Each verse ends with the phrase, "Who is this Jesus but the Son of God?" an acknowledgement of Christ's wondrous divinity.
Shine like the sun on the mountainside. Elijah and Moses were there, pale in his glorious light. And a voice came like thunder, and I trembled all over, said this, "My beloved child, who is this Jesus but the Son of God?" I saw him walk on the waves. I saw him still the storm. I saw the demons afraid, but the children safe in his arms. Said, "Lazarus, rise up, wake from your sleep." And his dead heart started to beat. Who is this Jesus but the Son of God? On his chest, for he was my friend. He poured the wine, he broke the bread, it was near the end. I saw them take him, beat him, try to break him and hang him on the cross. They laughed, they mocked him. He said, "God forgive them, it's finished. Now it is done. The sky black as ink, the earth shook with grief as he breathed. His last and was gone. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Jesus, but the Son of God? Who is this Jesus but the Son?" I saw the scars in his hands, there in the upper room.
Mark chapter 1, verses 7 through 11. He proclaimed, "One who is more powerful than I am is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan by John. As soon as he came up out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." Our scripture for today doesn't just provide us with a story in the life of Jesus. It gives us a theological treasure trove revealing the nature of God as Trinity. In Mark chapter 1, verses 7 through 11, we read about the baptism of Jesus, a moment that is pivotal in Christian theology. This passage explicitly demonstrates the simultaneous presence and activity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The narrative begins with Jesus coming from Nazareth and being baptized by John in the Jordan. This moment is significant as it marks the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. Jesus, the Son, is the central figure here, fulfilling his role in the divine plan. And as Jesus emerges from the water, a voice from heaven is heard. "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." This voice is that of the Father, and his declaration not only affirms Jesus' divine sonship, but also reveals the Father's loving relationship with the Son. Then, as Jesus comes up out of the water, the heavens are torn open and the Spirit descends on him like a dove. The imagery of the dove is symbolic, evoking peace, purity, and the presence of God. The Spirit's descent signifies the anointing and empowering of Jesus for his ministry. This scene in Mark's gospel is a vivid portrayal of the Trinity. According to the pastor Kevin DeYoung, though, the doctrine of the Trinity is the most important Christian doctrine that most people never think about. And why don't we think about this doctrine? Well, for one thing, it's confusing. How is it that God can be both one and three? It's mysterious, and we can be uncomfortable with mystery. And another reason I think Christians ignore this doctrine is that they fail to see why it matters. But DeYoung goes on to point out three reasons why it's immensely important. One, it's a truth about who God is, and Christians who have made it their mission to live for his glory should be concerned with accurately representing the nature of God as it's revealed in Scripture. Secondly, this doctrine helps us to understand how there can be unity in diversity. DeYoung writes, "The Trinity shows us that you can have a profound, real, organic unity with diversity." And thirdly, because God is triune, love is eternal. Love has existed for all time. If God were merely one, then he would have to create other persons in order to love them, meaning that he'd be dependent on them in some capacity. But the doctrine of the Trinity means that God has eternally existed in perfect, loving community as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which means that God himself is love. And one of the astonishingly beautiful things about our faith is the reality that the God who is love invites us to share in his love. So then this passage is more than just a record of Jesus' baptism. It's a window into the nature of God. As one pastor writes, Mark is giving us a glimpse into the very heart of reality, the meaning of life, the essence of the universe. Our God is triune. So John is right in his declaration that he is love, and the God who is love has created us to share in his love. Let's close now with this prayer from the Book of Common Prayer. Eternal Father, At the baptism of Jesus, you revealed him to be your Son, and your Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Grant that we who are born again by water and the Spirit may be faithful as your adopted children, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.